وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيكم حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the khidmat of deen that you are making. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, still on the aspect of Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stated in the Noble Quran, إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله, that verily Safa and Marwa are among the signs of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اِعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so whoever performs Hajj or Umrah of the house, there shall be no sin upon him should he go to and forth between the two. Now, this particular verse states there shall be no sin upon him. Now, why this year? There's a knowledgeable reply by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The nephew of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked her, Allah revealed in his verse, there shall be no sin upon him should he go to and forth between the two. It appears from the words no sin that there should be no sin should one omit the sa'i as well. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha replied, O my nephew, if it had been as you say, then the verse would have been phrased such, there shall be no sin upon him should he not go to and forth between the two. So she then added, this verse was revealed for the Ansar who abstained from performing the Sa'i. So they queried whether to go to Safa and Marwa or not. Whereupon this verse was revealed, informing them that there is no harm in its performance. There is no sin in its performance. The Sa'i was enjoined by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none may omit it. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Now, that was a knowledgeable reply by Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Regarding the laws of Sa'i, the Sa'i is not permitted without first performing Tawaf. The Sa'i of Hajj may be performed after the Tawaf Qudum or after the Tawaf Ziyara, the latter of which is better, to perform it after Tawaf Ziyara. However, for the one performing a Hajj of Qiran, Sa'i is better after the Tawaf of Qudum. Previously, there existed a depression between Safa and Marwa. It was through year that Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha harid. For this reason, those performing Hajj and Umrah also run year. Today, this depression no longer exists since the land is now flattened and an upper floor has been constructed. To mark the place, green pillars and lights have been placed between which people run. There are 7 circuits in the Sa'i from Safa to Marwa and back, to and fro. And the circuit from Safa to Marwa is one, and back to Safa is another. So in this manner, seven are completed, beginning from Safa and terminating at Marwa. It is wajib and compulsory to perform the sa'i by oneself. No person may substitute another. The only exception is the person who fell unconscious before donning the ihram. Another person may adopt the ihram on his behalf, as well as perform the tawaf qudum and sa'i for him. This may be done on condition that he does regain consciousness before all of this. The dam and compensation becomes compulsory on the person who left Makkah Mukarramah before performing the sa'i. The running, the actual jogging between the green pillars is only for men, and women should not do it. Whoever performs a good act of his own free will, then surely Allah is ever grateful, most merciful. This refers to any non-obligatory act which will surely bring reward from Allah. Allah is most appreciative of any action a person may perform. No action, whether good or evil, goes unnoticed by him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Certainly those who conceal the clear things and guidance which we have revealed after we had expounded them in the book for the people, such folk, the concealers, are cursed by Allah and by all those who curse, except for those who repent, amend, and clarify. These are the ones whom I will forgive, for verily I am the greatest acceptor of repentance and the most merciful. Now, the punishment for those who conceal the truth. It is written in Asbabun Nuzul that this verse was revealed with reference to those scholars of the people of the book, the Ahl al-Kitab, who concealed the verses of Rajam, the stoning to death of a married adulterer. It also refers to their concealing of the description of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which appeared in the Torah. The tafsir Durr al-Mansur records a hadith that Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala and some other Ansar asked some Jewish scholars about certain aspects of the Torah. They refused to furnish answers. The above verse was revealed with reference to this incident. Durr al-Mansur also reports the statement of Sayyidina Abul Aliya rahmatullahi alayhi, who said, "This verse makes reference to the people of the book, the Ahl al-Kitab, who due to jealousy hid the personality and characteristics of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the people. They even hid the fact that the Torah made mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that it described him despite the fact that it was written in the scriptures before them." The author of Ruhul Ma'ani writes that the noble Prophet alayhi wasallam received clear verses which included the mention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The people of the book, the Ahl al-Kitab, hid this from others. The word guidance is linked to the word clear things and refers to all aspects of guidance. This includes belief in the seal of the prophets, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although this verse was specifically revealed about the people of the book, the Ahl al-Kitab, its application is general. That is, it would be a great sin for any person to conceal the knowledge of deen and religion. A hadith is recorded in Bukhari Sharif, in which Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "If it was not for two verses of the Quran, wherein warnings are mentioned concerning the concealment of truth, I would not have narrated a single hadith." He then recited the above verse. Sunan Ibn Majah reports the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as having said, "That person will be given a bridle of fire on the day of judgment who conceals any such knowledge through which Allah may grant any religious benefit." Concerning these people, Allah warns, such folk are cursed by Allah and by all those who curse. The meaning of a curse is to be removed from the mercy of Allah. Therefore, Allah will not be merciful to such people, and all others will also invoke the same upon them. The tafsir of Durrul Manthur narrates from Sayyidina Ata' radiallahu ta'ala anhu that all those who curse refers to all humans, jinn, and every living creature on this earth. This curse will apply to all of them except those who repent, amend, and clarify their wrong. Conditions for the acceptance of repentance of those who conceal the truth and lead others astray. The author of Ruhul Ma'ani writes that those will be excused from the curse who repent for hiding the truth and from all other sins regarding which repentance has to be sought. He then goes on to explain the word amend. He writes that together with repentance, amending the wrong which has been done is also necessary. Whatever rights were infringed should be redressed, whether they be owed to the Creator or to the creation. Those people who may have been misled should now be advised correctly. These people should be informed that they were prevented from the truth and should accept what is now being said. Whatever changes may have been made to the Book of Allah should be corrected and substituted with the correct teachings. He then goes on to explain the word clarify. He writes that whatever was concealed should now be clearly explained. The repentance of these people will be completed only when these two conditions are fulfilled. That is, amendment and clarification. Whatever ill may have been caused by their words or actions should be redressed, since these would have caused many people to go astray. This point is of extreme importance, and few pay heed to it. Many free-thinking, ignorant people who consider themselves to be jurists and reformers wander far from the truth. Considering themselves to be great writers, they attempt to display literary prowess. Such people are far from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat and propagate their false teachings. Should such people choose to repent, their repentance should not merely be done in private. They should make public declarations to inform the public that whatever beliefs or actions they may have propounded in contradiction with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah were wrong. Nowadays, we live in an era of corruption. Many people carry out clear acts of disbelief in kufr, which they continue to propagate. When they realize the truth, they are remorseful and quietly repent. It is incumbent upon such people to repent, amend, and clarify. Each of the three actions is imperative, as has been mentioned in the Noble Quran. The first lesson: it should be understood that the only person who can pass judgment and fatwa about the matters of deen and religion is the one who is a truly learned scholar in the Quran, the Sunnah, matters of lawful halal and unlawful haram, as well as all the other religious injunctions. The consequences of issuing an incorrect ruling is indeed grave. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who is asked about any knowledge which he possesses, but who does not disclose the same, will be given a bridle of fire to wear on the day of judgment." It is learned from this hadith that the responsibility of imparting knowledge is reserved for those who themselves possess such knowledge. The person who ventures to impart such knowledge, while he is not qualified to do so, will fall into the pit of misguidance. At the same time, he will drag others with him. Bukhari Sharif reports that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Those people who have some knowledge should expound it, while those who have no knowledge should say Allah knows best. Instead of pretending to know, it is wise to say Allah knows best. When you have no knowledge of something, Allah instructed his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, I ask not of you any recompense, neither am I from amongst those who pretend." It is for this reason that scholars and ulama state, to say I do not know constitutes half of knowledge. It will be noticed of many an ignorant person that they can never say I do not know. They are prepared to comment on every subject without any knowledge of deen. They write books which include incorrect subject matter. It will also be noticed that when any reliable and experienced Mufti is questioned, then some ignorant bystander will reply before the Mufti can have a say. This is so because people have no perception of religious responsibility and accountability in the hereafter. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the person who is most bold to issue rulings is most bold to enter the fire of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq from deducing from Quran and Hadith, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us act upon the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.